Welcome to September, everybody, and welcome to another installment of the Sunday Sit Rep. I will apologize up front. This one is going to be dropping later than we normally like to get these out. Typically, what you guys will experience if you've never listened to a Sit Rep before, these will be dropped typically around 9 or 10 a.m., depending on your time zone and things, on the first Sunday of a given month. Now, given this particular month, this is a holiday weekend, and I actually spent my morning out at the range with Josh and with Randy, working on getting some B-roll content type stuff, but then also getting our carbines zeroed, both our offset dots and our LPVOs, because we are officially two weekends, or actually less now, really 2 weeks away from the HTA charity event out in Templeton, Pennsylvania. Which is just crazy to think about because time has just flown by. It's wonderful and astounding all at once. But at any rate, so getting this out later in the day today, gathering some information, gathering some thoughts. You know, it's a holiday weekend. Hopefully you guys have the opportunity to spend time with your family or close friends. It really, and people have mixed feelings, you know, when we get into Memorial Day and Labor Day and things like that. But truly, these major American, like, barbecuing holidays, I really... Regardless of why the holiday exists, I really sincerely do hope that people have the opportunity to spend time with those around them that they love and that they enjoy being with. Hopefully take time away from work, time away from the office, right? And just try to relax, try to decompress, especially now because we're officially heading into the holidays, whether we want to hear that or not. The unofficial first day of fall is September 1st. That's today. So the year is quickly getting through, you know, through our hands or slipping through our fingers or whatever you want to say, but 2024 is starting to wind down and take advantage of the time off from work while you can spend time with family where you can and how you can. But this is the Sunday Sit Rep. We do these at the first Sunday of every month to talk current events, to talk a little bit of politics, sometimes a lot of politics, it really kind of just depends, and get you guys up to speed, but also to provide some thought, some insight, a little extra flavor, if you will, to, I don't know, really anything. I mean, it could be anything. We'll talk about almost anything on these episodes, and today, I mean, definitely no different. There's two stories I really want to touch on because they're especially impactful to us. And one is, I guess possibly speculation, but we're going to dig into it because of the deep impact that it could potentially have on you and I, because it's something that we, you know, overall preparedness and things, when we talk about prepping and preparing, especially when it comes to firearms training and protective measures like body armor and communications apparatus and all that, you know, all of those things. People go, what do you need that for, right? Well, there's a situation that is seeming to develop. We're going to get into it further in a moment, but developing in Aurora, Colorado, where we have some Venezuelan gang members that are taking over parts of the town, apartment complexes, allegedly, because we have citizens coming out claiming that it's happening, and then we have the interim police chief, which I don't even know why she's the interim, but that already leads to some just questions on my end, really, that it's not happening. But we're going to dig into that and what it means when you put it in the frame of reference of responsibly and legally armed citizens and your protecting of your own community, and maybe and even just bigger picture, right? Because we talk about, you know, Red Dawn, the movie, right? Oh, you think you were going to be invaded? Well, I mean, in a manner of speaking, that is an invasion, right? So we're going to get into that. We're also going to talk about a legal case that also involves illegal immigrants, which we actually, I know we spoke on a couple months ago on a Sunday Sit Rep, because it's a very important and very impactful legal matter, which at the time granted the legal right for illegal entrance to the country to carry a firearm, which is a huge, huge problem, obviously, for a lot of different reasons. And if you're paying any attention at all to the news, whether that's through social media or through the television or possibly even through printed newspapers still, right, you know that there's a lot of crime that's tied back to illegal immigration right now. And this is, it's a big deal for all, right? We talk a lot about the Second Amendment here. We talk a lot about personal preparedness and personal accountability. So we're going to get into all of that. Those two things are really, really important. I think that there's a ton of other stuff we could get into, right? We could talk about the travesty that is Kamala Harris and her comments around, you know, not showing up to Arlington National Cemetery, I believe it was, or, you know, some of these other things that are going on with her and her running mate, Tim Walz, right, refusing to have their interview aired on national television, right? We could get into all of that, but we're going to focus a little bit on these two stories right now because I think they're the most applicable and most immediately concerning, at least at the time of this recording, and that may change. Maybe we'll do another sit rep this month. Like, who knows, right? But before we get into, you know, this month's discussion, this month's topics, right, we have some really awesome partners in the industry that I want to take time to talk to you guys about because they support us. And without these partners, we would not be able to do everything that we can do. There's some outstanding companies, you guys. We want to make sure that we're taking the time and just making sure that we bring them to your attention so that if you guys are in the market for gear, for goods, for services, right, that you can go seek out these companies and you guys can have a great experience as well as, well, have a great experience just like we did, basically, right? So first, I want to start with Custom Night Vision, you guys. Their website, first and foremost, you know where to find them, is customnightvision.com. They've been a huge supporter of ours for over a year now. And actually, were just nice enough to send me out one of the new MH1 housing units from Lowlight Innovations. And why is that special? Well, here, I'll tell you what happened, you guys. I got about a week and a half ago, got the MH1 with some L3 tubes in it. Outstanding device. The guys at Custom. So Ben and Kevin, I'm getting ahead of myself, do outstanding work, take great, great care of me. So get the unit a couple days later. All right, I'm out at a buddy's property. It's very, very dark. Flip them on, and there's an issue with one of the tubes as it's gaining down. It's almost like it's losing power. So there's a problem with the tubes. I had a response back from them that night. By Monday of this past week, I had a shipping label, and Monday afternoon, I dropped it to them. By Tuesday, it was with Claude and the guys over at Lowlight Innovations. By Thursday, it was back to Custom Night Vision, and by Friday evening at 5:15, it was back in my hands via UPS. And I say all this to just highlight how great a service Custom Night Vision and their partners provide in the space. If you guys are looking for night vision, and I know a lot of people are looking into it, and it's expensive, and you want to know that your money is well spent and you are well taken care of, and that you're not going to have to worry about service concerns if something should break, if there should be an issue, and if you should have any kinds of questions, guys, again, it's customnightvision.com. Head over to the website, and if you have questions, if you have those same concerns, reach out. There's a chat function built into the site. You can email the team directly. You can get answers to your questions. So whether you're just looking for some insights, some advice, or you are very ready to pull the trigger, pardon the pun, on getting some night vision, the team at Custom Night Vision will take great care of you and make sure you have the most transparent buying experience possible. Again, their website is customnightvision.com. Check it out for yourself today. Also, very big thank you to 100 Concepts, you guys. Got to catch up last weekend with Jonah and hear about some of the really exciting stuff that they are working on. And guys, they are always working on something new or maybe something old and finding a way to improve it, making it new and re-releasing it. So whether that's ruggedizing their scope caps and light caps, you guys ask for, hey, we want something that's a little bit quieter. We want something that's a little bit stronger, right? Hey, they listen. They developed a better light cap because that's what their consumers, that's what their customers asked for. They listen to you guys. They're developing new and unique solutions to address problems like reflection and camouflage every single day so they can bring solutions to you guys to address those issues while you're out in the field. So whether it's scope caps, their pro caps, the hex caps, if you're looking for anti-reflective devices for your red dot sights, or pack scrim, helmet scrim to address camouflage, you guys, head on over to 100concepts.com today. Check it out for yourself and support an outstanding small business. Finally, I want to say thank you to our friends at RMA Armor, everybody. You can head on to rmadefense.com and check out everything they have going on. I think for the Labor Day weekend sale right now, you can get an outstanding deal on some level 4 plates. I believe it's like 30% off. It's crazy. You guys can use discount code PreparedMindset5 to save 5% off your order. As well, if you're looking at something on the website, a little bit comes back to support us here at PMP. But if you guys are looking for armor and you are not in the position to break the bank, you know, budget minded does not mean cheap. RMA is the place for you guys. Okay, so again, it's head on over to rmadefense.com. You can see their level 3, 3+. 3A Plus, which is what I'm rocking right now. Super lightweight plates. They even have women's cut armor. So if you're a lady and you need a little extra curvature, but you still need that same level of protection, this is where RMA comes in. They'll take great care of you. Again, discount code is prepared, MINDSET5, to save 5% off your order when you go pick up some armor, a carrier, a helmet, whatever you got going on. So big, big thank you to those companies. Those are our supporters, our sponsors here. They make this podcast possible. And let's just get into it, you guys. We'll start kind of, I don't want to say light, because it's not light at all. It's a very important issue. However, it's less important than the one I want to really, the one I really want to open up on. So we'll start first. The Fifth Circuit Court has ruled that illegals don't have Second Amendment rights. So like I was saying a moment ago when we were doing the introduction, there was a ruling a couple months back by one of these circuit court judges that said that illegal immigrants, right? So people who have crossed the border into the United States, and there's a ton right now, right? They have the entitlement, they have the right, they are protected by the Second Amendment the same as actual constitutional United States citizens, right? They have a right to carry a firearm, which was, of course, to you and I, to all of us who have to fight, not necessarily daily, but we have to fight to protect our Second Amendment right. It is constantly under attack, especially this is an election season, so you have the Democrats, and I don't mean to make this completely political, but you have the Democrats they all campaign on gun control. It is on any Democrat who is serious about trying to win their election, trying to win their race, trying to get the DNC support, or the National Party, I guess, trying to get their support, right? Their platform, gun control is on there. It's one of their top five, top seven issues, right? For any one of them, regardless if they're running for city, for state, for federal level, whatever it is. We have to fight on a regular basis, I'll say, right? So maybe it's not daily, maybe it's not weekly, but on a regular basis, we are fighting to defend our rights as American citizens to keep and bear arms. It is written out in the Constitution very, very clearly. We do obviously, right, have those discussions on, and they get very convoluted around, oh, what are the limitations of that? Oh, that's the old school Second Amendment when they were talking about muskets. Like, yeah, because none of those gentlemen ever witnessed technological innovation of firearms or artillery during their time, right? They only fought a whole war to create this country. But let's not get off the subject here. So this court ruling protects the right, or basically it created the right, because as an illegal citizen of a country, and you can say, you know, people can say whatever they want about abstract creation of borders and their imaginary lines that tell citizens of the world where they can and can't be. Well, you know, we had a decision made that illegals were entitled to the same rights as actual official U.S. citizens. Well, Tuesday, this is 5 months later now. So we were at the end of August. So at the end of March is when that decision came down. But on Tuesday, a 3-judge panel of the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled in the case against Jose Paz Medina Cantu, that Second Amendment rights do not apply to those who have entered the country illegally. This individual, he was arrested in 2022 by Border Patrol agents and charged with illegally possessing a handgun and unlawfully reentering the country after being deported. And you guys, if you've listened to the discussion we had with Undersheriff Matthew Smith of Pinal County, Arizona, you guys know that the border issue is a huge one. The cartel problems are huge down there. And I also listened to an interview years ago now, literally years ago, on the Fieldcraft Survival podcast with John Norris, he stood up the Met team for the park rangers in California, right? Marijuana interdiction work, and talking about how much issues they had there with sending illegals back to California, and they'd send them back 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever times, and they'd be catching the same guys these different grow sites. So and that was before we really had what a lot of people are defining as a immigration crisis in the country, as we define it today, right? We have thousands, tens of thousands of illegals crossing into this country every day, every day. And some of these are not very good people. I mean, surprise, surprise, right? It's almost like there needed to be some kind of safety valve to let in the good, honest, hardworking people looking for a better way of life and to keep out the, you know, riffraff pieces of shit. And this court ruling, and this is the problem with our judicial system, is that you have some people that are literally elected to the bench for their political views. Judges are just as political, unfortunately, right? They are just as political as elected representatives. They decision and rule and interpret rule of law in a pseudo political style is how I say it. And this is my honest take. And I know that judges are not supposed to act that way, but we have seen it time and time and time again. And you even hear people in law enforcement talk about it, because I think the Trump case in New York is a great example, but there's certainly dozens, hundreds of examples you can look at where federal prosecutors can go judge shopping. So in the case against Trump, they went out and they found themselves a judge that they knew would be biased against Donald Trump and would help them in their effort to get a conviction. And if they, you know, if they had a mistrial, then, oh, they would just go find a different judge. I mean, like, there's a lot of different ways around all of this, but you get these judges who have liberal ideals and liberal agendas, because you know who contributes to their reelection campaigns for the bench? Well, it would be the Democrats. And that's a problem, you guys. That's a huge problem. I mean, you know this. If you're listening to this podcast, you know that we swing conservative on a whole lot of stuff. But I mean, just from a common sense standpoint, you would think that the most neutral individuals that you would want in a position of power would be in your judicial branch, because they are the conduit of interpretation. They are the conduit that we channel our legal system through for decisions and rulings and setting legal precedent. So, the unfortunate part is we had 5 months of, hey, you know what, illegals can carry guns. And now we finally, it took a 3-judge panel on the Fifth Circuit Court to reverse this. And like, I mean, it's very concerning. It's something that you can look at it now and go, well, it's over and it's done with, so it's fine. It's not fine, because I think it points to a bigger issue, which is that this ruling, that this all happened in the first place, which is, it's not right. We as American citizens fight, like I was saying, to protect our Second Amendment rights all the time. And it's funny how this is not talked about at the national level or even on the state level, really. Oh, gun control is to keep guns out of the hands of crazy, upset, angry white men. And that those details, those words have been spoken by numerous elected officials across the country, because that's how they roll. That's how they paint the picture of 2024 gun owners or gun shooting enthusiasts or survivalists or prepper. I mean, whatever label, right, most suits them at the time. And that's a problem. But now that we're talking about taking something away from illegal immigrants, which, by the way, here's the thing. Obviously, as an official citizen, you pay into our system, right? You pay into Social Security, you pay taxes, tax dollars, which are then are flipped into programs like California giving $150,000 to illegals to buy, you know, purchase homes and shit, while we got more homeless people and more homeless veterans than ever before in this country. And not to mention a young generation entering the workforce who can't afford to buy homes. But we're going to go ahead and fork over $150,000 to illegals, all in the name of, I don't know. It's crazy. It's this shitty effort to, I think, pad numbers for elections. Oh, well, if these people have a home address, then they can they can get an ID card. Then that it's like the workaround for getting through the naturalization process. Well, they're a homeowner here. They bought a home. They have land here. They have an ID here, and then they go participate in elections. And that's also obviously a very, very big problem. It is a slight amount of relief to know that this did get corrected, right? But yeah, it's a problem that we have judges in this country that believe that there are, that at any point ever, short of basic humanitarian rights and humane treatment, that illegals in this country have a right, and I also specifically use the word a right to anything, because they don't. They don't. They're not a citizen of this country. They don't pay into our tax system. They don't deserve. They're not entitled to any of our benefits. Do they deserve to be treated humanely? Yes, they do. And that's an entirely different conversation. Humane rights are not gun ownership. That's a different discussion. That's a different topic. But we have judges in this country that would take this case and they side against their own countrymen because that's who keeps them elected. It's a real problem. And if it's, and here's the thing is that a lot of people don't pay attention during election season. I get it. It's annoying. I keep getting those calls too from opinion polls and opinion places. Like they want to survey you. They want to see what people are thinking, blah, blah, blah. Right. but I get it, but you have to pay attention to these things and you have to realize who you're voting for. And also understand that if you vote for nobody, it actually works almost like a vote for the incumbent. So you have to do the research on who's, and that's, it's only every other year, you know, do an hour's worth of research. Who's on the ticket? What are they running on? If they're a judge, what is their track record? What does their case record look like? You can find all of that is open source. If there's a court case, with the exception of stuff that is like sealed, which is usually like minors and everything, I think there's probably more to that. But I mean, for the greater majority of this stuff, you can go look up how these judges rule. You can go look at their past track record. You can go look at the cases that they've handled. You can look at how they've ruled on them. You can evaluate and review and establish a pattern of your own on how these judges interpret the law. And then you, as a actual United States citizen, have the right to participate in our democratic electoral system and cast a vote either in favor or against that individual to either keep them on the bench or replace them with somebody whom you believe will do a better job at upholding our rule of law in the United States of America. But for that to happen, you have to participate. You have to get up and vote. And I get more shit on social media for saying that than anything else. I talk about how Glock is better than SIG. I talk about how I like an EOTech better than an Aimpoint. Nobody cares. I talk about how you should get night vision versus not having it. Nope. Nobody disagrees there. Nobody wants to fight about that. I talk about how I like Donald Trump versus whoever else was in the, nope, no problems with that. But if I say, hey, you need to go out and participate in our democratic electoral system, and people lose their fucking minds. It's absolutely astounding. Like, here's the thing. If I understand if you have doubts about the integrity of our electoral system. I do. What happened 4 years ago was truly upsetting. What I think here is absolutely immaterial. It doesn't matter. As America sits today, September 1st of 2024, this is the game. We have an elective system. If you want to win the game, it starts by playing the game, which means, folks, you got to go participate. And if you want to participate and you want to play to win, which that should be, if you're going to get off your couch to go vote, right, then do your fucking research. Do us all the favor and go do your research and vote for the candidate that most aligns with your thoughts, feelings, and beliefs. That's how we end up in the situation we're in with Joe fucking Biden and Kamala fucking Harris running the country, is that people just voted for a name on a piece of paper because talking heads on the radio and influencers on the internet who don't know shit about shit because they've never had to work a real job in their life tell us that Donald Trump's bad. And yeah, I mean, maybe the election was compromised. I don't know. I can't prove it. I can tell you that there were elections that were tampered with and there were compromises to our electoral system at lower levels, which, yes, if you're asking me, do I think that that's of great concern and that could be an indicator of larger issues? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I think that's a real problem. But when we're talking about things like trying to protect our rights, it starts by who interprets the legal guidelines which channel and frame those rights. Guys, you got to participate. You got to get off the couch. It happened. There's like 2-3 dates out of the year. You got to go make sure that you get up and go vote. And your employer is legally required to allow you that time to go vote. So there's never really a good fucking excuse. other than you just don't fucking want to, or you're like deathly ill. I don't know, one of the two. But, you know, and it's funny, you know, how this stuff ties back together with the other idea. Hey, we don't, this was not supposed to be an episode about political ideals or about participating in voting. But hey, you know what? You know how these people that make these decisions for our legal system, you know how they get in office? Through votes. And if you're not voting, you're not a part of the solution. In fact, you are part of the problem. So it's good to see that this was fixed, but obviously still a very, very large concern, guys. And given that this was done at a circuit court level, I could potentially see somebody trying to raise this greater issue in the Supreme Court. Do I think it's going to happen? No. Could I see it? Yeah, I definitely could, especially if the Democrats win the elections in November. I really could. And then we'd all really be fucked, which is going to, I mean, it kind of puts a bow on that whole concept as we head into what I really, really want to talk about, which is the national spotlight being on Aurora, Colorado, and what this could all mean for the rest of us who live outside of the fine state of Colorado. Excuse me. So if you guys have not been watching the news, there's a story that broke to CBS of a woman, I believe her last name was Romero, that was being interviewed by CBS and telling stories and showing video. The video was of her on her Ring doorbell at her apartment building where Venezuelan migrant gang members, these are illegal immigrants, by the way. I mean, maybe not all of them, but a greater majority of them are illegal immigrants. Part of this gang, Tren de Aragua, or TDA, it's a transnational gang that's based in Venezuela. Reportedly, you know, they got like 5,000-ish, give or take, right, members. And their motto is real until death, or real hasta la muerte. So, okay, that's concerning. Like, it's not a small-time outfit, and 5,000 people is nothing to sneeze at either. That's like a small cartel network in some regards. So what's going on is there's this Ring doorbell footage of multiple individuals with, you know, firearms in their hands, rifles and pistols, both, right? And the story, as it's being told, is that this illegal immigrant gang, right, TDA, has basically taken over a apartment building in Colorado. Now, looking at a couple articles, some people are saying, yes, this has been verified. The one on Fox News is actually the interim police chief, Chief Morris, is coming back saying that, oh no, this isn't actually it. We've been there. We've talked to people. But it's funny because the actual interviewed citizen, and here's the thing, what reason does this woman have to lie? In the video, which I saw online and first brought this to my attention, she was telling the interviewer from CBS News, and, you know, I mean, take that with a grain of salt. I'm not saying that this is gospel. You know, certainly liberal media goes for clickbait. But this woman is saying that, you know, she would call the police nightly over things that are going on, and they basically just started telling her, we're not going to come until they do something serious, until there's a serious enough crime, not a crime, until there is a serious enough crime, we will not come. One such incident, she was talking with the interviewer from the news, there was a gunfight and her car got shot, and that they showed up for. It's very concerning when you're as a civilian, as a citizen in the United States, right? And your local police force, who are by role, defined role and defined responsibility, are there to protect you. Okay. They are there to protect you, and they put a qualifier, and not like not a tangible one, not an easily measurable one, but there's just a qualifier, a big enough crime. It has to be a big enough crime for them to come out and assist you. Well, what's a big enough crime? What does that look like exactly? Are we talking murder? Are we talking fucking rape? So, I mean, that aside, that you have that kind of approach, that kind of attitude, that kind of, I guess, just demeanor from your local law enforcement is bad enough. That's absolutely fucking terrible. And I know the Supreme Court ruled that police are not required to protect you. They are required to enforce the law. So you can keep that in mind. It's a terrible, terrible look And it's a it, if it's if it is absolutely true, and it may not be, I suppose, because the police chief is disputing some of the things this lady said, and I don't really want to get into it, but it's obviously, that'd be a very big concern if that was something that was happening in your community, in your neighborhood, or in your apartment building, if you're listening to this and you live in an apartment, right? Now, I just say, I don't want to get into it. And you're probably sitting there going, well, then why are we talking about it? It's like, because here's what I do want to talk about is from a preparedness standpoint altogether. We, as responsibly armed civilians, we train, right? We train on personal accountability. We train on marksmanship. We train on radio communications. We train small unit tactics, small unit movement, right? Things like that. In general, most of us work to be better contributing members of our society and community, God-fearing men with strong moral values, right? And we train, we work on night vision, shooting, combatives. Combatives is not caught on as much as it probably should. But a lot of guys, karate, Muay Thai, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, things like that, right? We train to make ourselves more personally accountable and more effective as men, not exclusively men, but as responsibly armed and enabled citizens, right? And we get the comment, or the question rather, all the time, well, why are you doing that? What do you need that gear for? What do you need in this? Tell me what a person needs an assault rifle for, right? What do you need an assault weapon for, right? We get those. We're all used to that because we have all gotten that question, right? And then sometimes you even get the ever colorful comment, oh, are you preparing for Red Dawn? You know, are you going to be Patrick Swayze or Charlie Sheen? Like, ha ha ha. And yes, I count that as the movie Red Dawn. The remake was not good. I don't care which Hemsworth they put in it. So what are you preparing for, Red Dawn? You think the commies are going to come invade us? And people want to make light of it because they think that our real level of personal concern and individual accountability, right? They think that it's ridiculous because our society has been desensitized to personal accountability by, you know, participation trophies, by, the list goes on, right? Like, we don't have to get into that. So why I bring this up is because a lot of people think that for the average Minuteman, the modern day Minuteman, the average militiaman, or I mean, we can't say militia really, because those are illegal in so many states and blah, blah, blah. But follow me here, folks, right? Everything that has to do with what I just said there, it's all put in the scope of a foreign invasion. Foreign meaning you're going to have Korea or China or Russia, the national army for one of those countries, invade and attack the United States of America. That is the context and the scope in which we apply that to those statements and that idea, right? Everybody does. But I think it's important to look at what we're talking about here with this gang activity in Aurora, Colorado, because it may not be a standing army of, you know, a million troops coming over by boat or plane, airdropping in, or, you know, invading through Canada or something like that in the case of China or Russia, or maybe marching up through Mexico in the case of some South American power. I don't know, right? Just there's possibilities, right? You boat into one of the South American countries and march in through the southern border, which is obviously unsecured, and cannot be secured because of how bad things have gotten here politically. But I digress. So a lot of people want to say it's just army versus army, or armed civilians in the United States against an invading army that's their regular troops. So then what happens when it's not an invading army, but rather an invading gang or an invading cartel, where it is not an easily and visually verifiable invasion? They look like you and me. They're here amongst us, right? They blend in. They work with you. They work around you. And slowly over time, your community is inundated with these illegal aliens who happen to be members of a foreign gang element. And now you've been invaded. You didn't know it. You didn't see it coming. There were no flags. There were no warning sirens. There were no parachutes. But in the matter of months, your community went from being your community to being their community. And now you are stuck in the middle of it with your family, potentially, right? And your own safety in mind. And what are you to do about this? Well, this is, you know, and I heard somebody told me about this. Oh, well, I heard the Hell's Angels are riding into town. And it's like, okay, well, cool. What does that look like? I mean, what is good old fashioned vigilante justice look like? And by the way, that's not me. That's not me being critical of the Hell's Angels. By no means. I think it's if it is true, right? So if it is true that these gangs are taking over communities within our country, which we were told for months and months and months leading up to this, is that you think these people are just going to enter the country and disperse? No, they're going to enter the country and they're going to start taking over communities one by one by one. We were warned this was going to happen, and this is why the border is such an issue for the 2024 election. So, but if this is true and we do see Americans, whether it's the Hell's Angels, and you can say whatever you want about biker gangs in general, I have heard some amazing stories about how great bike club organizations, I want to say biker gangs because that's, and it's kind of weird, but these kind of organizations and things, not just the Hell's Angels, you know, there's many, many, many different organizations, right? But how great they can be for their communities. They gather toys for children during the holidays. They contribute. My mother used to own a restaurant and used to have, I think it was Hell's Our Home is the motorcycle club. And they used to come in late at night and close the place down, very respectful guys. And a couple different times when people were getting unruly and potentially physically threatening with my mother, who is a small Mexican woman, had a couple of these gentlemen stand up and they knew her by name. So, Laura, is this guy giving you any trouble? And she would, I mean, yes or no. And if it was a yes, then all it took was them putting a hand on the shoulder and saying, hey, buddy, I think it's time you leave, and walk them to the door and let them know it's, you know, it's so... To keep in mind, like, that's not me being critical of motorcycle clubs. But if this is what it takes to win back our communities, why is it only fall to those people? Wouldn't it then also fall to us as legally armed and moral citizens of our community to take back our community, to protect our community, to protect our homes? Because in most states, as far as I'm aware, right, there are... It's written into the law that you can protect not only your own life, but that of those around you, whether they're family or not. And yes, I would consider folks walking around with hoods and masks, carrying AR-15, you know, platform rifles and handguns out in the open for no good reason. I would consider them to be, to some extent, a threat. Now, and that's not to open a discussion on open carry law. I think you guys all know what I'm getting at here. You know, these people that are on these videos taking over apartment rooms and apartment complexes and things, and generally contributing to the degradation of our society, right? I think that this is what this looks like. I think rather than having an invasion force from a foreign country, I think it's illegal gang activity. It's cartels and syndicates moving in through our exposed southern border. It's a joke. And that's not I don't mean to be critical of what the Border Patrol is doing. Border Patrol, I believe, is doing everything they can to try and fight to secure the southern border of the United States. I know they're fighting right now. They're fighting against the system. They're trying to arrest these people. They're trying to deport them. They're trying to turn them back at the border. There's just not enough of them. And what's worse is they don't have any legal backing or legal support. And this is what this turns into, because if you guys know your geography, you obviously know and obviously understand California is not exactly a southern border state. It's like it's smack in the middle of the continental United States, more or less, right? So that just proves the point that these illegal aliens, they're coming in through Texas, they're coming in through Arizona, whatever, right? New Mexico. And they are making their way across the country and they are gathering in groups. They're taking over communities. They're turning those communities and those, maybe it's an apartment complex or something, whether it's projects or shit like you see in like the show The Wire, right? If you guys, you know, if you guys watch The Wire back in the day and everything, they're turning those into safe havens. They're turning those into bases of operations to which they conduct their criminal activities. Whether that's dealing drugs, whether that's rape, whether that's murder, extortion, I really don't know. And it should be of concern to you because we all have apartment complexes and this could happen in any one of our city. If you think the people in Aurora, Colorado thought that, that their town would ever like just obscure, it's not like it's Detroit. It's not Chicago. It's not a major city, right? If they thought that their town was going to be the one that was turned into this war zone, that turned into the housing site, right, for this gang. And it's not like this is a small-time deal. This group has been linked to over, and this is, I'm pulling this straight off of an article on Fox News. They had linked over 100 crimes across the nation. And the Aurora Police Department confirmed to Fox News digital TDA leader Cookie Monster is in custody as part of a July 28th shooting investigation. So it's not like these guys are coming here for a better slice of life. Oh, they had it, because I love this argument. I love when I get fucking liberal people throwing the, oh, it's socioeconomic issues. That's why they had to turn to a life of crime. It's because all the haves, all the rich peoples, are putting their thumb down on the have-nots. No, no, it's really not. It's because they're piece of shit criminals. It is. Things like shootings, attempted murders, assault, all that stuff that comes with it. The mayor for Aurora has announced Friday the city's starting the process of clearing the apartment buildings where these gang members are held up. What that looks like, I have no idea. I do find that somewhat hard to believe from the standpoint of the statement given by that resident on video to the CBS News news lady, right? That the police were not going to show up unless it was a big enough crime. So then what changed that now you're apparently going to get teams of law enforcement going through and sweeping and clearing these structures and removing these gang members from the building? And what's going to keep them gone? That's my bigger question. Like, what's going to keep these guys out? Once you get them out, are you going to deport them? Because here's the thing. If you solve the problem here, if you solve the problem in Aurora, is that really solving the problem? Are you actually solving the problem? Or are you just, and this is kind of like when you're a kid, when your mom's like, hey, pick up your room, and you just shove everything under the bed and they go, oh, okay. Are you actually addressing the issue, or are you displacing the issue? Are you moving them out of your town, so out of sight, out of mind, and they're just the next town over starting the same stupid shit all over again? Because that's the question I think that we need to be looking at. I think that's how we need to be framing this from an overall solution and progress standpoint is, how are we going to fix and address this issue? It's not going to just go away. You're not going to just put them on a bus and send them to another part of the country where they're just going to assimilate better and, you know, oh, it's somebody else's issue, so I don't fucking care. No, we can't. That's the kind of attitude that has gotten us to this point. Oh, well, they were, you know, oh, they're just, it's just the southern states. It's just the border states that are having issues with this. And it's probably not really that much worse than, you know, than it normally was. It's probably just Trump and his crew lying about it for the elect. No, it's not. It's actually fucking worse. And I implore everybody to do their research, to look at how bad the illegal immigration numbers are, especially as we look towards the election, where in states, including Florida, by the way, like Republican states are not exempt from this, you have illegals lining up to get driver's licenses. And when you go vote, right, what do they ask for to ID you? It's usually not your voter ID card, because I don't know about you, I've shown up to vote and I go, I don't have it. And they go, oh, okay, well, do you have your driver's license? Do they have a way to verify you? Do they even care? Or is it more than likely, right, all you need is a valid driver's license for them to let you in and go cast your vote? And then that's when you start to worry, because that means that we're losing the election. Because it's just like they tried to pack the Supreme Court. Oh, well, you know, these justices aren't getting it done, so let's stack the Supreme Court with justices that'll swing our way and vote our way on our issues. No, no, no. That's not how this fucking works. If you want to add people to this country, that's the immigration policy. What we have right now is an absence of immigration policy because they just let everybody in. There is no check and balance system. There is no naturalization progress or process. My question truly is how, I mean, this is what we're dealing with. It took us years to get this bad. It's going to take four times that amount. It's going to be the next four presidential terms after this. I mean, that's being optimistic, to remove these people, to fight and combat the effects of these poor decisions made by this administration. And I really think that, you know, we're going to see a lot more of this. I think we're going to see a ton more of this, honestly. And you'll have to probably look a little bit for it, unfortunately, because I think it's probably going to get suppressed by the liberal media. You know, and again, these are not just gang members with knives and chains, you know, like these are armed gang members with resources and structure and organization. It's something really to be concerned with, you guys. So I don't know. And I would love for you guys to reach out to me and talk about this, because when we talk about, you know, protecting our community, at what point do we get into like neighborhood watch patrols? When things get bad enough, it's illegal to open carry. So just as it is technically legal for these individuals to open carry a firearm, I don't know if that's reason or cause enough for law enforcement to stop and have a conversation and check these individuals, right? Especially when we have decisions being made that, you know, like we talked about first, right, where we have judges ruling in favor of armed illegals. I guess my question is where the legality lies behind stopping somebody you see open carrying, but really the point being it's legal to open carry. So at what point do we see armed neighborhood watch patrols? At what point do you and your neighbors get together and say, fuck this, this is our home, we're fighting for this, and you'd make the decision? Because a lot of guys talk the talk, but not many walk the walk, and I understand. But at the same time, if this was your community and these people were rolling into your home with your kids around, having gunfights all through the night, shooting your car, putting your family and yourself in danger, what would you do to address it? What would you want done to address it? What would you want to do to address it once your local police force openly and completely acknowledged the issue and then let you know that they would not show up unless it was a, and I quote, big enough crime? What would you do? What could you do? Are you in a position? Do you have the gear? Do you have the know-how, the knowledge of the legal system to know where your limits lie? Do you know how to be effective with multiple other parties in your neighborhood? I mean, you got a buddy who's four blocks over who also has gear and a radio, and you guys train together. And I don't know. I'm not trying to necessarily lobby for the creation of multiple militias. What I'm saying is, you do have a right as an American citizen to protect your family. And as a concealed carry person, you do have the right to defend life if it's in imminent danger. And that's what these situations lead to. Gang shootouts, gunfights, drug activity, and all that shit when it comes together, right? You know, and know the laws in your own area, obviously, folks. I'm not an expert. But I am going to ask the questions like, what would you do? What would you want done? What can we do? I mean, and here's a great idea. If you live in a community similar to Aurora, Colorado, where you see this kind of shit taking hold and you're concerned, pick up the phone. If the police won't show up to help you, at least call and ask them, what can I do? And ask the questions. Hey, if I were to fear for my life and defend myself, what would that look like? I mean, if you could call a lawyer, you could call and ask that. I mean, I hope that none of you guys listening ever make it to that point in that kind of a conversation for any issue. Honestly, I don't want anybody to do anything, but unless you have to, it's absolutely 100%. We should always be first priority is defending our families, protecting our family, our wife, our kids, if you have them, your parents, if you live at home, or if they live with you and you're taking care of them or something. But like it's an invasion of our communities. And it's something that as things progress, we should be more and more concerned with, because this is huge. It is a huge issue. And when you have conflict, you have residents coming out saying this is happening, and you have video footage and photographic evidence of this kind of shit going on, and then you have your police chief coming out saying, well, we actually heard that it's not that. You, as a police chief who are elected by those constituents of your community, should be acknowledging your citizens' concerns, not going to the media saying, well, it's not that bad, and trying to fight the PR battle and public perception battle. You should be siding with your residents. You should be siding with the citizens that you are tasked to protect and work with them to resolve those issues. That's the way this is supposed to fucking work. But as we've seen with incidents, you know, things as awful as the Uvalde school shooting, right? A lot of these elected, you know, police chiefs and these individuals, they are more concerned with the paycheck and the personal liability that comes with decision making than they are about protecting anybody. Because they have shown time and time, and this is not all law enforcement, but it's enough that we can say as a majority, right, they are more concerned with liability and insurance and legalities than they are with doing the right thing and protecting the people in their community. And that right there, folks, is why it is important for you to understand your own rights, the legal limitations of those rights, and to be a well-prepared and efficient individual, a capable individual, a dangerous individual. And you can do all those things without going out of your way to hurt anyone. The best thing you can do sometimes is just get out of an area. And if you guys have seen the interview with this, I believe her last name was Romero. She's, you know, the cops even told her on the phone, have you thought about leaving? It's like, yeah, but people can't just up and leave their homes. You guys know what the housing market is like right now. Whether you're renting an apartment or you own a home, it's not financially feasible for almost anybody to just up and move to someplace else. It's very rough out there. The solution, that's not a solution. It's just not. And we're supposed to ask a family member to take you in, become a burden to your family, because the home that you have for yourself and have had for yourself is no longer safe because your elected officials refuse to do their job. Your local police department refuses to do their job. It's a bad time, folks. It is a bad time. So that's all I got for you guys. Hopefully those two things, I mean, they're kind of tied together. Not exactly, but they're kind of tied together. So hopefully this spurs some thought for you. And if nothing else, it gets you to look around at your own community and make a stronger evaluation, right, of your situation, of your circumstances, what's going on. Do you have concerns? Do you really? And maybe that leads to you either strengthening or starting a relationship with your local law enforcement. Police are just people too. I in my experiences, most are willing to have a conversation with you. Hey, I've seen this and this and this in my area. Is this getting worse? Should I be concerned? What are your recommendations? What are your thoughts? What are you guys seeing? Again, my mother, she owned a restaurant. She used to have cops that she worked. The restaurant was a couple towns over from where I grew up, but she used to have police officers that worked in our town who lived out by where her restaurant was. That would come in and they would talk to her while they were eating. They would tell her stories. Stay away from this part of town. Stay away from these apartments because we're in there every night. Stay away from those apartments because, you know, three foreign guys, kidnapped a girl and raped her. Stay away from there. It's terrible. We're doing everything we can to get rid of this subsidized housing that's drawing this bad element in. Talk to people. It's something we stopped doing because social media told us that police are bad. It's something we stopped doing because we have electronic communication, so we lost physical communication skills. We talked about this a little bit, honestly, in our last episode, we're talking with Mark, Modern Rural Civilian, right? Look to the past instead of not for everything, but man, it sure seems like looking forward and always looking for the future tech way of communicating and solving. Like, it doesn't always work. These things are not always work. Look to the ways of the past. Develop a relationship with your local law enforcement. Don't be that individual that's quick to always point the finger at law enforcement. Well, you're not doing enough. Be a part of the solution. What do you want seen done? Communicate to them. Tell them what you want done. Work with them on solutions. And that might piss people off too. But you know what, you guys? You can only do so much. Do what you can do and build from that point. It gets easier when you have these relationships. When you have these people in your corner fighting to help you, it only makes things easier. And right now, we all need to work together because a lot of these law enforcement officers, they live in our communities and they have a vested interest in the success of this kind of effort as well. And it's all about the greater effort. And if not with law enforcement, then work with your buddies. Have plans in place. Safety in numbers. Have fallback plans and transportation plans, rally points, communications, all the things that we talk about here. In the event that shit gets to a point where you need to use it, you don't ever want to find yourself in a spot where you don't know what to do next, but you know that you have to do something because it's too dangerous to not. So thank you guys so much for hanging out and for listening to this this edition of the Sit Rep. I hope it was insightful. We have a great guest lined up for this week. Really excited for this conversation. I hope you guys are checking this out on your holiday weekend, and I hope you guys enjoy it. But until next time, everybody have a great holiday weekend. Stay safe over the weekend and stay safe out there, everyone. And until next time, like we always say here, work hard, train smarter, and be prepared.